Good morning, Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University. Are you ready for my thousands of questions about the virus and the pandemic, Dr. Marty?
Hit me, Bob. Let's see what you got this morning.
Well, let's start off with a story that Steve Grzanich just did on the news about, the headline, taller people face higher risk of catching COVID-19, according to a survey. Anything to this?
Well, if that height is coupled with width, and you have a high in your fat or obese, then absolutely.
That's it. Okay, it doesn't sound like a survey we should pay too much attention to.
No, well, I mean, you know, people are trying to find all kinds of correlations, and you have to take all these kinds of things with a grain of salt. And, you know, until you've done a very controlled study, you can't say one way or another. But we do know that obesity and being overweight is absolutely a risk factor.
I heard another story this morning. The symptoms of the coronavirus may be less intense with certain nasal sprays. What do you know about this?
Oh, sure. There's a few different nasal sprays in the Solidarity clinical trials for COVID-19 that WHO has the site for. And in fact, there was a recent pre-pub, not a peer-reviewed yet, but a pre-publication indicating that interferon, which is a substance that our own bodies, our cells produce whenever they get attacked by a virus, right? They produce these interferons to try and alert other cells that this nasty thing is in, you know, is in the neighborhood and that they ought to defend themselves. So what they've done is they've taken this interferon, specifically interferon alpha, and put it into a nasal spray. And then they actually gave this to thousands of people, over 2,200 people, as I recall. And they indicated that fewer people who had this nasal spray given to them ended up with severe symptoms of COVID or seem to be protected from getting the disease. So there's some data. You know, it's also something else that needs more controlled clinical trials, but it's promising, and it's something that I would certainly look into.
And we're talking about over-the-counter items in this study, right?
Well, there's also, I told you about the ones that have good scientific basis. There's also carrageenan, which is a substance that's found in some foods and it's perfectly safe, that others have touted as a possible thing to put in your nose, but the data on that is a lot weaker. So if that's what you're talking about, then go back to the interferon one. That one has much more data.
And is hydroxychloroquine safe and effective, or isn't it?
Well, you know, I looked very thoroughly into that. In fact, I worked with a whole team of international specialists, who, myself included, who've used chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine to treat other conditions, right? And we tried to see whether it does or doesn't have any antiviral effects. In vitro, so not in a human being, it does. And so there was good evidence for doing clinical trials, and some observational trials had indicated it might have some benefit. But now there's been a whole series of very carefully and very well done blinded studies, the types of clinical trials that really tell us the truth about whether something works or not. And there's no data in those kinds of trials that actually support the use of chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine to actually benefit patients with COVID. And yes, although chloroquine has been used on billions of people safely for malaria at specific doses, there is a risk, both chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, which, by the way, hydroxychloroquine is used for systemic lupus erythematosus, other types of arthritis, and other things here in the United States. There is a risk of cardiovascular disease. And so that's why the FDA no longer approves under emergency authorization the use of hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine for patients with COVID-19.
Got it. Yesterday, NBC News had a story about a vaccine the Russians say will be available in, I think they said, 2 weeks. Do we believe this?
Oh, anyone can have a trial vaccine and claim it's ready for use. And the Chinese have done that, too. They're using a, quote unquote, trial vaccine that they're giving as if it were a tried and true vaccine. Those are all the same thing, right? We don't have, the Russians have not provided any data that supports the safety and efficacy of what they're going to use. They simply want to move ahead with something that's effectively an experiment on their people in general, not something I would recommend for any population. So that's where they are. Sure, they're claiming they have a candidate vaccine, and they do. We have many candidate vaccines, and many other countries do as well. But that doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do or the wrong. It's just that it's not proven to work. And the bottom line is, when it comes to vaccines, is it takes time to find out whether something, whether the immunity that you get from it is actually good and neutralizing, whether that neutralizing immunity is something that's going to last. And if you want to know if it's going to last 6 months, 6 months has to pass. If you want to know if it's going to last a year has to pass after you've tried it, right? I mean, it's just obvious, right? And the same for side effects. Some side effects that you get from some products manifest right away, and most of the vaccines, in fact, all of the ones that we're trying in the United States, have very limited, almost, you know, insignificant little side effects. Your arm hurts, you know, a little bit of a fever goes away in a day or two. That's not considered serious. But sometimes things show up a year later, and so a year hasn't passed, right? So we don't yet know the true safety and efficacy of any of these trial vaccines that are being done, even the ones that are in phase three. We will know when the time passes.
I understand. Well, let's talk a little bit about masks now that we're all wearing them. Hopefully we're all wearing them. What do we need to know about storing masks, keeping masks clean, washing masks? What's your advice?
Well, I'm going to tell you a few things about masks that I think are just tremendous. And that is selecting the right mask. You definitely want a mask. If you're going to wear a cloth mask, it should be a mask that has three layers, with the middle layer being a filter. That's the ideal mask. And the other thing that you want to know is, when you wear a mask like that, yes, the main idea is to protect others, but a mask with a filter, the right filter, is going to protect you as well, because it will capture the virus in the filter, which is there in that middle layer between your mouth and the and the filter, and then you have that outside layer. And so and here's a very interesting set of studies that have shown that not only is it good for preventing acquiring the virus, but if you do, you're going to get a lower bolus. And so when you get a lower viral load because you're wearing a mask, then your immune system is going to respond differently. Viral load is really important. When your body encounters a huge amount of something nasty, it's going to react more dramatically than if it first encounters an itty-bitty tiny bit of it, right? And so that's really important, that you've lowered your exposure to a large dose, and that's much healthier. And so we think that one of the things that's really helping in the world is, because you're wearing masks, not only are we seeing a reduction in transmission, but we're also seeing a reduction in severity of disease. So that's a really good thing about masks. Next thing is cleaning them. Well, if you're wearing a mask that's acquiring virus on it, in its filter, you don't want to wear that again. You want to wash that mask every single time after you've been out there in a place where that's potentially contaminated. So masks should be, these cloth masks should be washed after each time that you are outside of your safe little bubble, your home or your personal office, that sort of safe bubble. Any other questions about masks?
And I think you've covered it all, as you always do, Professor. It's Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist. What's on the network TV schedule for you the rest of the week, Dr. Marty?
I don't know. You know, things sort of pop in and out. You know, you get unexpected requests. Like, I thought I was done for the evening, and then CNN said, oh, can you answer this question? Okay, sure.
All right. Well, we'll look for you. We see a lot on NBC, MSNBC, CNN. And then, of course, whenever you're on, you just tug at your earlobe a little bit to send a secret message to WGN listeners. So we always appreciate that.
Okay, I'll do that. Very good.
Yeah. Or you can just fiddle with your stethoscope that you wear. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, as always. Have a great day.
Thanks. Take care, Bob.